Good morning, church. It's a blessing to be back with you. We've had an interesting couple of weeks around my house, and I know that ours is not necessarily unique, that others have had sicknesses and other things, and we're grateful to be back, and it's great to see you all here today. Very appreciative of your presence. The singing has been wonderful. Thank you, Tim, for directing our thoughts and song today. Appreciate Ramon's comments around the table and directing us as we remember our Savior. We're going to continue ourselves back onto our series on the Word of God. And I forgot all about Glenn doing the scripture reading, so I'm going to step out of the way and let him take care of the scripture reading here real quick. Go for it.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. Let us stand and sing. Hadn't been up here in a couple of weeks. I was so excited to get up here. I just blew right past him. So I guess there's worse things to be excited about. I'm always excited when I get a chance to not only talk about God, but to preach his precious word. And I'm looking forward to this lesson today, and I hope that it proves to be a benefit to us all. Would you pray with me as we begin our lesson? Holy Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of this day, and we are so grateful for just the incredible amount of love that you've shown us. As individuals, as families, and as your church, we're so blessed. We thank you, Father, for having a safe place to worship, for having minds to comprehend the portion of your will that you revealed to us, for hearts that are willing to obey, for feet that are willing to carry the good news to others. And Father, we are grateful for this time of worship to approach your throne. As we look into your word, we ask you to speak to our hearts and minds. Bless us, Father, with the message today that we may be changed and that we may be more like your Son with each passing day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So as we have been dealing with this idea of our theme for this year, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, we've taken note of the fact that a lamp to our feet shows us where we are, and a light shows us where we are supposed to be going. As we look into this longest of all of the chapters or psalms that we have, Psalm 119, we look in those first 8 verses, and we see all these different ways that God's word is described to us through these testimonies and statutes and laws, etc., and how God takes his word seriously. And we should as well. In Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever your word is settled in heaven. Guess what we don't get to do? We don't get to change it. And I'm glad, because I know some of you. And you're probably glad because you know me. You know, as human beings, we have a problem, and that problem is selfishness from a very early age. And we want things to be our way. And if we had the right to change God's word, we would change it to our benefit, would we not? Anybody that's honest has read God's word and go, I really wish that wasn't in there. Because that attacks my favorite sin. You know? I mean, we look at God's word, but yet God says, forever, my word has been settled in an eternal place, not impacted by time or human hands in heaven. His word stands firm. And because it stands firm, we need to take our stand under God's word. We need to allow it to determine how we conduct our lives. Today, I want us to look at another portion of Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word, God, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hidden, this word hidden means to store up or to treasure. Do we do that? Have we done that? Are we continuing to do that in our lives? Are we hiding God's word in such a way that it proves to be an inoculation against sin in our lives? Do we have so much scripture in our heart that it serves as a barrier to this disease of sin that is so rampant in the world? How many times have we seen a situation, been tempted to participate in a situation, and the word of God comes readily to our mind to remind us, I don't need to do that. That's what it means to hide God's word in your heart. To store it up, to treasure it, to be filled with the word of God. Now, as we think about how this is done, I want to direct your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Let's look at the first 11 verses here together. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. May God bless the reading of his word. This example of Jesus here serves as our prime example of what it means to hide God's word in our heart. He is weak. He's at the end of this time of temptation. He's being tested and tempted by Satan. And Satan comes to him. And the only defense Jesus has, he can't run away. He can't hide. All he's got is God's word. And that is enough. But we got to have it for it to be enough. We have to have it. His temptation was a solicitation to sin. And I'm here to explain something to you today, that there are people that have a hard time with this concept, that it wasn't a temptation if there was no threat to give in. Jesus was human, and he was divine. And his human side had its weaknesses just like us. How do we know? Well, when we go to Hebrews 4:15, Jesus was tempted in all ways just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus could have, but Jesus didn't. That's the difference between Jesus and us, where that's concerned. Because we could have, and we did. And we did it again. And we did it again. And we still do it. And Jesus doesn't. Never did. But the temptation was there. Now you think about it, at the end of 40 days, he had fasted. Science tells us that the human body that is well hydrated and in good condition can last about 40 days without food before it succumbs. 40 days. Satan comes along and goes, "Man, I know you're hungry right now. You got to be really hungry." Anybody would have given in a long time ago, but look at you. I mean, you made it 40 days, so... I mean, if you're the Son of God, just take that stone right there and make it bread. I mean, you made it. You did it. Congratulations. Here, have some bread. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever gotten hangry? When you're hungry and angry at the same time? You're angry because you're hungry, right? 40 days. 40 days is nothing. I would have made it past day two. Jesus, you know, I can't even see 40 days. But he makes it. And even in that heightened state of weakness, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, Jesus finds a way. And he shows us how it is that we ourselves can resist temptation. Going back to a psalm 1,000 years before Jesus came to the earth. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Command these stones to become bread. Jesus saw the thrust of this. He examined it and he knew exactly what it was from Satan. And he addressed it by going back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so I'd like to turn your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And let's see why Jesus went there. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, we are on the back end of the 40 days of, or 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And Deuteronomy is a compound Greek word, deuteros, which means second, onomos means law. It's the second giving of the law. The law was given in Exodus chapter 20 at the beginning of after they had come out of Egypt. They sinned, they had to wander around, and now God tells Moses, "Okay, you got to remind them before they go into the land what my expectations are." And so we have the second giving of the law. And it is an expanded version of that because it helps to explain some of the things that the law is trying to direct God's people to abide in. And so they needed reminders. Chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Where did Jesus go? He went to this verse. God had allowed Israel to become hungry so he could take care of them. So that they could learn that they were solely dependent upon God. God's given us a lot of things, but God's never given us total dependence from him. Do you know that the most godless atheist on the planet is dependent upon God for their heart to continue beating and for the lungs that breathe in air, for their minds to continue to function as they do? They are totally dependent on God, because the moment that God determines your heart's going to stop, it's going to stop. And if he doesn't determine that it's going to start back because of some medical technique or some other means, it's not going to start back. We are totally dependent upon God. Now, we like to think of ourselves as independent, but we're truly not. Israel thought they could do whatever they wanted to do. And God had to teach them during that 40 years that he not only was all they had, but he was all that they needed. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Returning to chapter 4 in Matthew, you know, we might have some kind of biological existence that we call life because of bread, but we cannot truly live apart from the Word of God. We might exist, but we don't live. We don't know really anything apart from God's Word. You remember in Romans chapter 1, as Paul is talking about people in the world, when they reject God, thinking themselves wise, they become fools. That's exactly what this is talking about. We think we know so much without God's Word, and yet time and time again, God's Word proves itself to be that which we absolutely, positively must have. What are some of the temptations today that face us that are akin to turning bread into stones? Well, we think that we're okay, you know, because our job or our profession, different types of things that occur to us in this life that help us to take care of ourselves. You know, well, I know that God gave me some things, but you know, I got out there and beat the bushes and got this job. I went to school for 6 years to earn a degree so I could get this job. Did you really? Who gave you the mind? Who allowed your heart to keep beating in your chest and your lungs to keep functioning? Who was it that gave you the strength to be able to go out and beat the bushes and find that job? Who was it that providentially provided that job for you before you ever got to the door and knocked on the door for that job? God did those things. And we're tempted to think of ourselves, because Satan comes and goes, you know, that bread would taste really good right now. Sometimes we're tempted in this way because we're preparing for a life based on material existence. I don't know the answer to this question. Anybody here ever lost everything to a fire? Anybody here? Got one? How about to water? Have I ever had a flood or something washed everything away? One, two. You learn real quick what's important, don't you? When you lose it all. You can't replace pictures and keepsakes and those kinds of things. And those are the, you know, truly the things that break our heart. Because, you know, there's a sofa can be replaced with another sofa and it may not be a big deal. But a picture of your grandmother on her wedding day, you can't go back and take that again. But your life doesn't exist because of that photograph. That's merely a memory. And it's sad to lose those things, but your life is not over with when that disappears. But I want my kids to have it better than I had it. You know, that might be the death knell in American society that began after World War II. Our material abundance has destroyed this country, and it's destroyed our churches and our families. Because we think that that is all that. I was looking on social media this morning, and one of my students in the Philippines that I taught a number of years ago when I was over there at Philippine Theological College started a house church, started it a month or two ago. They had 50 people present this morning, 50. They're meeting on the front porch of somebody's house. Sitting on the floor, standing up. And they got everybody together and took a picture of everybody that was there today. There's not one person in that picture that's not smiling. And they don't have anything compared to you and I, materially. We've got to put our material things in their proper perspective and see them as the blessings from God that are to be used for His glory and not for our gain. Sometimes we give into this temptation because we're so busy trying to keep our home going, get it started in the first place, and we just don't have time for Jesus and His church. Ron, this is where I stop preaching and go to meddling. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular because this is endemic with every congregation where I've ever been. But some of you, if you were late for your work like you are every week for the worship of the Lord's church, you would lose your jobs. Now, I want you to tell me what's more important, your job or worshiping the Creator of heaven and earth. You're not going to be late for that ball game, though. You're going to be first in line for that new Marvel movie and sit there for 2 or 3 hours in a chair and never flinch. Won't even get up and go to the bathroom. Man, Ron went 15 minutes over today. Shame on us. We got to have our kids to that ball game. It's 7 o'clock on Saturday, but we can't make it for Bible class at 9:30 on Sunday. Getting awfully quiet in here. I'm telling you, folks, don't be turning stones into bread. You live, you exist by the grace of God, and you can only truly live when you live off of every word that proceeds from His mouth. We got to get this figured out. And we got to get it figured out yesterday. I hear some small children over here. Okay? And I am so thankful to hear that. I had an old preacher tell me years ago, and I don't think it was unique to him. He probably heard it from an old preacher himself. But he says, if you're not crying, you're dying. If you're not hearing babies in church, you're dying. Those babies need to be here. They need to be in our Bible classes. They need to be worshiping. They need to be involved. And they can't be here if mom and daddy don't bring them. We got to watch it. This temptation is tough. And there's a lot of ways that we succumb to it. How can we learn how to live raising our families? How can we learn how to do our jobs in a way that glorifies God if we are not living dependent upon every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? We've got to understand the importance of storing up God's word in our heart. Scripture memorization. Everybody's like, I didn't know there's going to be homework. Folks, we're all cramming for our final exam, aren't we? It's coming. 2022. Guess what? Congratulations. God decided to let you find 2022. Anybody in here got a get out of jail free card to avoid dying in 2022 before the next year? I don't. None of us do. None of us knows what this month, next month, this year is going to hold in our lives. We're all preparing for our final exam. So I want to present you with a challenge. There are 47 Sundays remaining. This actually said 49 2 weeks ago when I was supposed to give you this lesson. So you got a 2 week reprieve. 47 Sundays remaining in this year. If you memorize one scripture a week, by the first of 2023, you will have memorized 47 scriptures that you didn't know. All right, Jesus wept. All right, that's a freebie, but that doesn't count. Make it 48. Memorize God's word. Sit down with your children, with your grandchildren, with your nieces or nephews or any of the young people that you have. Challenge them and let them challenge you back. Memorize scripture together with your family. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The wise man said in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If our thinker is being governed by God's words, we know that we're going to be thinking and doing those things and existing in a way that is pleasing to God. As Glenn read for us, at the opening, okay, in chapter 2 of the opening, I had the opening. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Some of your translations say God breathed, and that is the more literal meaning for the word theopneustos there that we get inspiration of God from. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, man there is the generic man, not the male specific, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be complete? Do you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? You got to go to the scripture. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This morning, Maybe you haven't acted upon the things that you know. Maybe you as a Christian have found yourself in a doldrum, spiritually speaking, or maybe even in a rut. Come back to God this morning. Don't delay. Make it today. Make that change. Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you and encourage you in any way this morning? Or maybe you're here, and as a person created in the image of God, you have never named the name of Jesus and you've never put him on in baptism. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of the sins for which Jesus died, confess his beautiful name, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins? God will contact you with the blood of Christ. He will clothe you in his Son. He will add you to his church, and you'll be raised to walk in a forgiven life. A life where now you can hide God's word in your heart as that inoculation against sin. Can we help you with that today? Whatever your need is, our brother's about to lead us in a song. Make it known to us as together we stand and sing.